It's good to be here tonight as we study a few minutes from God's holy and divine word. I want us to think about singing and the beauty of singing. The beauty of singing spiritual songs. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this tonight is because of some of the great things that are taking place here among the congregation. I'll be honest, I've just been singing happy-go-lucky, the spiritual songs. And I want to share some of the things that I've been looking at in the scriptures concerning singing. In Psalm 69, in verse number 30, the psalmist says, "I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." I thought about that, and I thought about how the psalmist there, and we're going to be looking at other passages in the book of Psalms concerning singing, but usually when someone is singing psalms to God, it is because of a merry heart. Usually when they want to offer up praise unto God with the fruit of their lips, it's because of a merry heart. Singing has always been a part of the people of God. It's always been a part of their makeup. It's always been a part of their identity. You remember when the children of Israel was brought up out of Egyptian bondage in Exodus 14? You remember when Moses told the children of Israel, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And in the very last verse or two there, you'll see that, "And the Lord saved Israel that day." You know what took place in Exodus 15? They sung a hymn. God had them to write a hymn. Moses, rather. Look at Exodus 15. And we don't have time to look at all of this. I wish we did. But just a few of the verses here in Exodus 15. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spake, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God. And I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. He has chosen captains also, drowned in the sea." The Red Sea, that is. I can go on with this song. You go and you look at some of the things that's in this song, and it's a description of the praise of God. The praise of God was on their lips. In Deuteronomy 21, just put this in your notes, verses 19 through 30, God had Moses to make a song, to write a song, and it was a witness against them. God wanted them to know that, "I am the one that did this for you." But do turn to Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, you remember when the children of Israel was complaining against God and complaining against Moses, and God had those serpents to go and bite the children of God. Usually complaining comes with a bite. And when we consider this, we think of what God did for the children of Israel by having Moses to make this serpent and put him on a pole, if you will. And everyone who looked at this pole with the serpent on it, they was to be healed. Well, we see something that's powerful in verses 10 through verse 20. Notice, "Now the children of Israel moved on and camped in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Iger Abarim, in the wilderness which is east of Moab, toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved and camped on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites, for the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of wars, of the wars of the Lord, Wahab of Suphah, the brook of the Arnon, and the slopes of the brooks that reaches to dwell at Ar, and lies on the borders of Moab. From there they went to Beer, which is well, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song. They sung a song. It's interesting. Every time when God would deliver his people or he would give them something that they needed, they would sing a song. Spring up, O well. All of you sing to it. The well, the leader sank, dug by the nation's noble, by the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness, they went to Matanan. Now, it's interesting that God would have a people and they would sing. And when God's people was delivered by some deliverers, great deliverers, they would sing to the Lord, which tells us that the proper response to deliverance is thanksgiving and singing. It's interesting that the psalmist understood this. Turn to Psalm 28. Singing is vital, so vital to God and his people that the psalmist understood this. In Psalm 28 and verse number 7, notice what the Bible says about singing and the attitude. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I was helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced and with my song I will praise him. Friends, is God our song? Is God our strength? You know, there's a couple songs that I have in my mental repertoire. And sometimes I'm not even thinking about it and those songs just going through my mind. I know that happens to y'all. And you think about this, we ought to be reminded that singing is a part of Christianity, not just on the first day of the week, not just when we come together on a Wednesday night, but every day because it is because of a merry heart. Notice Psalm 40. In Psalm 40, we see something else. This is a psalm of David. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. Listen to this. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. It's interesting that when the people of God was brought up out of a horrific situation, there was a response to it. Out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. That's a solid ground. That's a foundation. And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies, so forth and so on. You see what the Lord did for the psalmist? He said he put a new song in my heart. Look at Psalm 120. In Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, these are known as the Songs of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent were very powerful because, of course, once a year as they would travel for their feast, they would sing these melodious chants as they was going up the mountainside. And as they was going up the mountainside, they would sing these great, wonderful chants. In Psalm 121, notice the first two verses. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. You go and you read all of that, and this is a chant that they would chant as they was going up for the feast. Look at Psalm 122. Just the first two verses. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Isn't it a beautiful thing when you know Sunday's coming? When Sunday's coming, you're about to hear the word of God. You're about to see your brethren. It's a beautiful thing. You can't wait for Sunday. It's interesting when Sunday is over. I can't wait for Sunday to come back around. I tell you, when the brethren call me and they say, we want you to come do a meeting, I just get all excited. Just get all excited. You know, it's interesting what we find ourselves excited about. We ought to be excited about those things that God is excited about. In Psalm 126, look at the first three verses. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Friends, I consider this, and I thought about, these are songs of ascent, yes. As they're traveling up, they're singing these great songs. They're reminded of what the Lord has done for them. And usually those who understand what the Lord has done for them, they can't help but sing. They can't help but sing. But what are they singing? We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. In Psalm 130, notice verses 1 through 8. We're going to read all of these. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared, reverenced. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yea, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Can you imagine this being chanted? And what God has done for his people. Friends, we should be singing to the Lord as well. I'm reminded what Paul did in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn there. You remember when he commanded the people of God in Ephesus to sing? I found it very interesting, as it's interesting as you're studying the scriptures, and it's a living book. And because it's a living book, it's always producing. You're always learning something. But in Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, notice something. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, riot. The riot is in the wine. But be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. And notice, songs spiritual, or spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's interesting that if a person or a group of people is going to sing to the Lord, that those songs must be spiritual. They must be words that God approve of, which means that people can't sing anything to Jehovah. Why? John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. So it reasons well that if God is spirit, that means I'm going to sing spiritual songs unto him. Because I'm spiritual. I'm walking according to the Spirit. But notice what he says. Making melody, not on a harp, but in your heart. Notice the object of the worship to the Lord. And notice what comes after that. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, making melody in our hearts. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 15. This is a sister text, but Paul by inspiration adds a little bit more to it. It's trustworthy. Start at verse number 15. Notice what your Bible says. And let the peace of God umpire, literally in the Greek, rule your hearts. Rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. Be thankful. It's interesting that the next verse cannot have the strength unless one is thankful. Be thankful. When one is thankful to God, they can't help but open up their hearts, which means that they open up their mouths. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Notice how in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. But he adds something to the equation that he didn't add to the Ephesian letter. He said, singing with melody. Here is singing with grace. The idea of grace is thanksgiving, joy, charis. You think of this, and this ought to be in our hearts. And notice the object of our worship is to the Lord. Friends, we stop and we consider this, and God wants us to make melody, and he wants us to make grace. He wants us to make melody, and he wants us to be thankful. And he wants it all between our eyes. And it's going to come out of our mouths. I can understand why the psalmist was so elated to be delivered. I can understand why the psalmist was so elated to sing to the Lord. And friends, when we have been delivered by God and delivered from our sins, we ought to be very thankful. Paul admonishes the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14:15 to sing with the spirit, sing with the understanding. There's more to it than what I want to get into as it relates to that particular text. But we have to sing with the spirit. That's the right attitude. And sing with the understanding. We have to know what we're singing. We have to understand God's will before we sing. The Hebrews writer captures Christ in Hebrews 2:11-12, singing amongst the congregation. Notice Hebrews 2, and look at verse number 11 and 12. Hebrews 2, verse number 11 and 12, gives us great insight to our God. Number one, in verse number 11, and we ought to be very thankful for this, for both he who sanctify and those who are being sanctified, that's God and the church, are all one. For which reason, he is not ashamed. Listen to this. God is not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call us family. And then notice what he says. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Friends, isn't it beautiful to know that the Lord is not ashamed of his people? Should we be ashamed of the Lord? Should we be ashamed of the gospel? The answer is no. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, as we continue this thought process, and really what this ought to do, it ought to cause us to ask ourselves, am I really Mary? You know, there is a false doctrine going about, even in the Lord's church, that if I'm merry, if I'm happy, if I have a lot of praise in my heart, if I want to clap and stomp my feet, and if I want to get up and wave my hands, you know, who are you to regulate my worship and praise? God does. God regulates praise. In James 5 and verse 13, James sets the record straight. If someone is happy, if someone is merry, you know what he tells them to do? Sing. He says, sing. You know what we ought to do when we get happy and merry? We ought to sing. We ought to open up our hearts and open up our mouths and be thankful unto God. You remember earlier we brought up Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. Go to Matthew 26. I want to show you something. In Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. It's interesting as Jesus is having the Passover meal with his disciples. Remember, he's about to go to the cross. But after they have this meal, he institutes this supper. Notice verse number 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It's interesting. They sung. But what did y'all sing, Jesus? We sung a hymn. We sung a religious ode. We celebrated God, literally in the Greek. We celebrated the Lord. You know what we do when we sing to the Lord? We celebrate. We celebrate. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating that he is our strength. He's our courage. Go to Psalm 137. As we come to a close, I thought about this and thought about everything that's going on here. At the congregation, we have so many things going on here. It's beyond my thinking right now. I've had dreams of working with great men and people and striving to go forward in the gospel. And the Lord definitely answers prayers. I'm just excited and just find myself singing. But you know, we ought to sing even in the midst of bondage. What we ought to sing even when things are not going well. We ought to sing when we see the light at the end of the proverbial tunnel. We ought to sing anyway. I can prove that with Psalm 137. In Psalm 137, the background is Babylonian captivity. And notice what the psalmist here says. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, that's Jerusalem. We hung our harps. upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth. Now, notice what he's saying. These are the ones that have taken us captive, and they want us to sing a song, saying, sing us one of those of the songs of Zion. And notice the response. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Now think about this. If anything, they say, I'm not going to sing at your request. I'm not going to sing. You're the one that took us into captivity. Even though I understand it was my doing that got me here. But I'm not going to sing because you requested me to sing a song so you can hear me praise my God. But notice what he says in verse 5. He said, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Even in the midst of captivity, we ought to have a song, but we're not going to have a song because someone is desiring for us to sing. We're going to sing because, number one, we understand that God is going to take care of us even in the midst of hard times. In Acts chapter 16, notice what your Bible there says as I bring some type of parallel to this situation. You remember we have Paul and Silas, and they're in prison because of the gospel's sake. And they're not in prison pouting and complaining and why are we here and woe is me. No, in verse number 25, notice what your Bible says. But at midnight, hold on, midnight they ought to be asleep. No, not Paul and Silas. They're praying and singing hymns to God. And notice, it's interesting that we can plug this passage right in, right here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, that we're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Men will see our good works and glorify God. Even those who were not Christians, they were listening to Paul and Silas pray and sing. And friends, shouldn't people see us singing and praying in the midst of every situation? Notice Revelation 5. In Revelation 5, we come across more singing. But now we have this vision. And we know it's a vision according to Revelation 7, verse number 19, I believe it is. In Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10, we have the four living creatures. We have the 24 elders, and they fall down before God. And it's interesting. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense. Keep in mind, this is a vision. There's nothing physical in heaven whatsoever. That's a spiritual realm, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we have reigned on the earth. Friends, that was a song that they sung. They sung a song in heaven. Hold on. We're singing on earth, and they're singing in heaven. In Revelation 14, look at verses 1 through 3. You remember the 144,000 of Revelation 7 out of the tribes of Israel? And those who were sealed, those who God knew were already going to be saved. Well, in Revelation 14, verses 1 through 3, we have those ones who have been sealed, those ones that are already saved. And notice what takes place. Then I looked. This vision is continuing to go on. as John is seeing some things that's taking place in heaven. And behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of the loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang. They sang. John, what are you listening to? I'm listening to them sing. It's interesting when we hear songs that we like, you know, we just next thing you know, think about that. When you're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, just like we just finished singing, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Let me tell you why that song means a lot to me. That's the Southwest School of Bible Studies theme song. I love that song. It always takes me back to when I went to school at Southwest, and they always told us, you go out there, you preach the word. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Yeah. We act like we listen to songs today and we get all pumped up, and when you're driving, next thing you know, your foot pedal gets on, and you're like, you're doing 80. Like, well, you didn't got happy. It happens. You better put that thing on cruise. Get pulled over. Like, what happened? I'll be honest with you, officer. Good song came on the radio, and I wasn't even thinking. But you know what? We ought to have great joy when we hear singing about God, about Jesus, about the Lamb. We ought to be telling people, you tune in to 102.5 and you're going to hear some good singing. You're going to hear some good preaching. I believe if we listen to more spiritual songs and coupled with the word, or read more of the word coupled with singing, we'll be more spiritual. So when we come here and we're singing to the Lord, we can't help but to open up our mouths. But notice verse 3 again. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Why? Why only those who were redeemed from the earth? They went through the hard times to make it to God. Go to Revelation 15 as I close. And friends, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to heaven so we can do some singing all. I don't even know if I can say all day long, because there ain't going to be no days. But it's interesting. Listen to this. Out of all five actions of worship, there's only going to be one in heaven. That's singing. No more Lord's Supper. No more preaching by some man. No more prayers being offered. No more giving of money. That only leaves one. Singing. Revelation 15, I'll leave you with this. Then I saw another sign in heaven. This is a judgment scene. Great, marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his hand, of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing. They sing the song of Moses. You remember Exodus 15? The servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. What Lamb? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. Saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? That's a good question. For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. I wish we had time to look at all of that, but friends, what does this teach us? It teaches us that we ought to have a song on our heart as well. We ought to get ready for that constant singing and whatever the Lord has in store for us. We know according to Revelation 22 verses 3 and following that we're going to be serving him, that we're going to be feasting upon the tree of life, and we're going to see the face of God. Question? I have a question. Do you love singing songs, spiritual songs? I believe you do. But you ought to love singing in the midst of any and every situation. Life gets hard down here. It gets tough. Decisions need to be made sometimes. Sometimes we make the right ones. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have things happen to us beyond our control. Sometimes we're the problem. Happens because of our decisions. But never stop singing. Never stop trusting God. Always have a song in your heart. God is good to us. We ought to be thankful that we can sing to him and he hears our singing. That's why he looks into our hearts and he knows exactly who we are. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider being one. And the reason why is because God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son. Christ loves you so much that he gave his life. And we love you so much that we worship God and we honor God and we want to teach you the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're not a New Testament Christian, this is how you become one. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life. But maybe a child of God and you haven't been singing. Maybe life is tough right now and you just can't see through it. Well, why don't you allow us to help you to see through life so we can get you back to singing. Get you back to being merry. God will bless you as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.